I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for this week's edition of NFL Division Whip Around. Every Sunday night leading up to the start of the season, Can goes team by team, division by division, to see which teams will be the top contenders to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. The Baltimore Ravens.
And we start tonight in the AFC North, a division that seemed to be up for grabs until Pittsburgh got it going last year. But what's going to be happening for this division and who's going to be able to take it over really becomes a two-horse race between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we start with the Baltimore Ravens. Digital host at Ravens.com, Garrett Downing, the first to join us tonight. Garrett, the Ravens 8-8 last season. What are they expected to do this season? Are fans expecting playoffs for this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, you look at the Ravens over the past, since John Harbaugh arrived in 2008, Joe Flacco arrived that same year, the expectation has been to be in the postseason every single year. So that's no different this season. I mean, I think when you look at what they've done this offseason, they really went to work on the defensive side of the ball. They put some heavy resources into the defensive side in terms of draft picks, in terms of free agency additions. And so their expectation is for this defense to be a top five, at least, unit in the league. Now the question is, how are they going to score points? And so they've addressed that by adding pieces like a Danny Woodhead, who they look to be a really big part of both, not just the running game, but the passing game as well, and also the recent addition of Jeremy Maclin. So, yeah, I mean, people in Baltimore, inside the organization and outside the organization, expect this team to be in the postseason and competing in January.
Four picks in three rounds, all defense. Who's got the biggest impact come through?
Yeah, I got to say the easy person to point to is the first-round pick, Marlon Humphrey, the cornerback out of Alabama. But the question with him is he going to start right away? You know, they have Jimmy Smith, the cornerback, who they've given a big contract. They also went and signed the veteran Brandon Carr, who has never missed a game throughout his entire NFL career, has played a lot of big-time ball for the Dallas Cowboys over the course of his career. So I still think that Humphrey's going to play a significant role, even if he's not a day-one starter. If it's not him, I look to a guy also from Alabama who the Ravens ended up getting in the third round. It's Tim Williams. He's a guy that fell to the third round, even though a lot of people believe he has first-round talent, had to deal with some off-the-field issues. But from a talent standpoint, he has all the tools. He can get after the quarterback, and the Ravens are looking for somebody in this defense to get after quarterbacks and to harass them, and I think Tim Williams has all the ability to do that immediately for the Ravens.
How do Ravens fans feel about Ozzie Newsome? Because from the outside, people would start to wonder, and I was looking at the defense last year, and I'm thinking, how can you wonder? Okay, I know that some of the offensive picks haven't gone that great, but the defense is right back to form, or looked like it was right back to form to where it was in previous seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think people in Baltimore, like I said at the top, the expectation is playoffs. So whenever you don't get there, and the Ravens have not been in the playoffs the last two seasons, so everybody gets a little frustrated, a little antsy. But at the same time, I don't think there's really any question about how good of a general manager Ozzie Newsome is. You know, he was a Hall of Fame player. If he wasn't in the Hall of Fame already, I think he would be certainly in contention as a general manager for what he's done after his career. He's been the architect of two Super Bowl teams. He's put some really good pieces into place. I mean, you look at his draft history, you know, he'll get criticized at times for some recent players who haven't panned out. But when you compare his resume, even in recent years, to generally anybody else in the league, it holds up.
10 seconds. Is Joe Flacco elite?
Of course. Up from Baltimore, everyone says he's a Super Bowl MVP. What else do you want?
All right. Well, thank you, because hopefully my show will take off after this, because it'll be packed with Lions people agreeing and disagreeing with you. Garrett, thank you very much for the time, buddy.
Hey, Ken, appreciate it, man.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
And we move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers last year close, but still weren't able to punch your ticket to the Super Bowl. The Patriots in the way, and to talk about them and their outlook for 2017. Ed Bouchette, one of the legendary writers, covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find him on Twitter, at Ed Bouchette. Ed, first and foremost, how many years does Ben Roethlisberger have left?
I would guess three, four, maybe. I know he brought up the R word, retirement, 2 days after that loss to New England. But I don't think that's serious at all. He's always told me he wants to play as long as he's capable and you know, is healthy.
What's the outlook, honestly, for the entire defense? I know there's been some guys who have been, they look like they were going to be good, and then they kind of fell by the wayside. The secondary, Artie Burns has been a decent pick to start his career, but they've missed in a couple of spots. What is the defense looking like for Pittsburgh this year?
You know, they went through a similar transition in different ways than those 70s great Steelers defenses did, you know, when they got old all at once. And they've been in transition now for a good 5 years from those defenses that were finished first in the league 4 out of 6 years, I believe it was. And they're almost there, I think. Maybe not as good as that defense, but three rookie starters last year, two in the secondary. And they had some injuries. Cam Hayward missed half the season. He's one of their best players. And Ryan Shazier also. So mm-hmm. I think they're going to be a much better defense this year than they have since those Polamalu defenses. And like I said, like 5 or 6 years ago.
Ed Bouchette joining us. Is it the division, the Pittsburgh Steelers division, to lose?
You know, I don't want to say that because Baltimore came within a second effort, outstretched arm over the goal line by Antonio Brown last year of beating the Steelers in that game and likely winning the division. So those two teams have been close. I think you have to give the nod to the Steelers because I think they just are better overall. Injuries have really cut into them, and it's hurt Baltimore as well, though.
T.J. Watt, the first-round pick. Juju Smith-Schuster has been very good at USC. He was good when he had Cody Kessler throwing to him, obviously, and then when he had the young guy in Sam Darnold. Could he have the biggest impact because it's Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him, or is it just that jammed of a wide receiver room?
Yeah, I think he could have an impact, but with Antonio Brown there, you know, he's the king. And I think Juju may fit into with Martavis Bryant coming back as well. I mean, he missed all of last year with a suspension. They really could have a loaded wide receiver group. And Juju, they're delighted with that pick, by the way, and he did nothing in the spring to convince them otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
He really could help take even more pressure off Antonio Brown, more double teams. He even got triple teamed at time last year. So without Martavis Bryant out there and without a real good number two option, now they may have two and three options at the wide receiver spot. So that and, you know, Watt should really help their pass rush. And that's something that the President Art Rooney II said they really need to do more of is get to the quarterback.
Steelers 11-5 last year, looking for more. Ed Bouchette joining us on the show. We thank you for the time, my friend. All the best.
All right, Ken, thanks for having me on.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
To Cincinnati we go, and a new outlook for the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they've had a coach who's been there for a very long time. A lot's going to be there on Andy Dalton's shoulders with the loss of a couple of offensive linemen. To talk about the outlook for 2017, Jim Osarski joins us. Bengals writer, Cincinnati Inquirer. Find him on Twitter at J Osarski. Jim, first off, is this a swan song for Marvin Lewis?
You know, that's probably like the million-dollar question for about 3-4 years, hasn't it? He's not operating with a year left on a deal as he has the last few years. He and Mike Brown have worked out one-year extensions that has not happened, although Marvin wanted one. So what that would lead you to believe is if the team does not make the playoffs again, maybe it's time to move on. But I guess we don't know, though, because in 2010, same situation, same type of thing where they didn't have a contract except to go, 4-12 or
yeah,
something like that. Carson Palmer says he's going to retire, and then he gets an extension. So, it's one of those weird things where on the surface, you could say yes, but this is Cincinnati, and it's Mike Brown, and it's really hard to just say, put your kind of stamp on that and say, it is the swan song, because honestly, look, they go 10-6, make the playoffs, and, you know, and something weird happens again, I can see them doing it all over again. So it's really hard. That's really all you can say at this point, because it's just such a unique situation in Cincinnati when it comes to that topic.
Jim Ossarski joining us on the show. 6-9-1 last year. Andy Dalton loses a couple of offensive linemen, though. Is this a make-or-break year for Andy because he has less protection? I think there's more on him to get the ball out, move the ball down the field, and obviously get this team back on the right track.
Yeah, I think last year proved, I don't want to say it proved something, but it's okay. In 2015, before he broke his thumb, Andy Dalton was legitimately in the MVP conversation.
He was awesome.
Cam Newton was going to win it at that point. Tom Brady was in the conversation. But look, the Bengals were 10-2 in the driver's seat for first seed in the AFC, right? So he made that leap. People were wondering if he could make. So 2016 comes. They lose wide receiver weapons, right? Jeremy Hill doesn't quite progress as usual, and what happens? Andy Dalton runs for his life. He's sacked 41 times. A.J. Green gets hurt. Gio Bernard gets hurt. Tyler Eifert gets hurt. And what do we find out? While Andy Dalton did maybe take a step from where he was, he didn't go all the way to Aaron Rodgers' level, right? So, which, again, people maybe knew, but, you know, I guess you had to find out, right, if that massive leap would happen. So I think in 2017, I think what the Bengals did by drafting Joe Mixon and John Ross in the first two picks, re-signing Brandon LaFell, even drafting Tyler Boyd a year ago in the second round, was, look, Andy Dalton is better than average, but he needs better than average weapons to play at that really high level. So I think it's not make or break for Andy. I think they feel good about him. Now, the offensive line question is a whole other one. I mean, look, their starting left tackle was their starting right tackle a year ago was benched after four games.
Yeah.
Their new starting right tackle has never been in that position in 2 years in Jake Fisher while they like him. Their right guard, their old right tackle and Andre Smith, who they let go because they were ready to move on. I mean, that's a lot to put on the quarterback. I think they feel good about it. I mean, if you like Pro Football Focus, I think only Brady gets it out faster than Andy Dalton. It's just a hair over 2 seconds. So I think what they're counting on is by replenishing the weapons they lost in Marvin Jones and Mo Sanu a couple of years ago, hopefully a healthy Tyler Eifert, that will help him sort of get around the issues on the offensive line, whereas a year ago he didn't have those other guys to help him do that, if that makes sense.
Jim Ossarski with us on the show. Jim, I hate Pro Football Focus, but I like you. And we thank you for the time, my friend.
Hey, anytime.
The Cleveland Browns.
Finishing up the AFC North with the team that usually finishes near the bottom of the AFC North. To talk about the Cleveland Browns, welcome in Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, at Mary Kay Cabot on Twitter. The Browns were 1-15 in 2016, Mary Kay. If you were to give a prediction right now, how many more wins will they have in 2017?
You know, right now I would say 4 more victories in 2017, and I say that without knowing who the quarterback is going to be, and, you know, I think that's going to be a big piece of it. Who's the quarterback, and can he get the ball to the open man?
Who do you think is going to be the quarterback?
You know, I think eventually it will be Deshaun Kizer. Will they start him the first week against Pittsburgh? I don't know. I know they will be tempted to. I know Hugh Jackson really likes him. I know that they're loving what they've been seeing in these off-season practices. And if he can hold his own in those preseason games, I think it could be Deshaun.
Where's Brock Osweiler fit into everything?
Well, you know, right now he's the only guy on the roster that has won a football game, so I think that's attractive to them, to keep him around. But
that's attractive, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I think there is some thought to, hey, you know what, maybe some team will lose its starting quarterback and get desperate enough to trade for him and work out some kind of financing deal where the Browns eat a lot of that salary and that the new team doesn't have to pay that much.
You crossing your fingers on Myles Garrett, making sure that he's healthy and ready to go for the season?
Yeah, for the Browns and for the sake of Browns fans, I'm definitely crossing my fingers for everyone about that, because it does worry me that he has a lateral foot sprain heading into training camp. The reason it worries me a bit is because he spent all last season at A&M with a high left ankle sprain. So now he's got the lateral foot sprain on the same foot. And, you know, it's just something that I think they're going to have to be very careful about. very cautious with, and they need to get him to the season healthy. So I don't even care if he practices all that much in training camp, at least in the early going.
Offensive line revamp for 2017. Nice new guard, nice new center. How does this thing shake out for the offensive line, and how much better does it make it for the quarterbacks in 17?
I think it will make it tremendously better for the quarterbacks in 2017, especially because they'll be solidified right from the middle on out. I mean, so much depends on what's going on with that center position. I ran into Mike McCarthy in the airport on the way home from the Super Bowl. He said J.C. Treader is a Pro Bowler when healthy. That's the operative word, of course, but J.C. Treader should really anchor that line. And then, of course, Joe Bitonio coming back healthy. Then you've got Kevin Zeitler there. As long as they can get the right tackle thing figured out, and they're really working on it, between Sean Coleman and Cam Irving, they should have a very good offensive line.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Find her on Twitter, at Mary Kay Cabot. Final one, Hugh Jackson moving forward. You said 5-11. He should be fine. Jimmy Haslam isn't going to do anything crazy then, would he? Because he starts out with zero talent.
Yeah, no, there's no way that they should do anything with Hugh Jackson's job after this year. I mean, they basically said, we heard Paul DePodesta say at the annual meeting that they took it down to the studs last year. So if you're going to do that and admit it, then you can't expect your coach to win a bunch of games in the year after that. So he, in my mind, gets another pass this year.
Mary Kay Cabot, we thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That was the NFL Division Whip Around, only on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.